Joshua chapter 20, I'd like to read the whole chapter. There are only 9 verses in this chapter. And let us hear the word of the Lord. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house and the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjatharba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Amen. Well, before the message, let's all bow in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast accepted us in Thy presence because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we worship Thee this evening, not because of our good works or because we want to somehow impress You or make You attracted to us, Lord, for there is nothing attractive about us. We are not at all, Lord, worthy of Thy presence, but yet we come in the name of the only name that we can come in, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Lord, that You do accept Your Son. And because we believe in Christ, therefore You accept us tonight. We thank You, dear Lord, for Your Son, the Lord Jesus, and for Christ being our Savior and our Mediator. And we pray tonight that as we consider Thy Word, help me, Lord, to preach. Help me, Lord, to convey the message to Thy people, the message that Thou hast laid on my heart. I pray for fresh power and anointing upon my lips. Lord, help me to preach Christ and to lead people to the Lord this night. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message is The Cities of Refuge, taken from Joshua chapter 20. The historical context in Joshua chapter 20 is that the land of Canaan has been possessed and subdued by the children of Israel. The tribes have received their inheritance, and the conquest of the land is almost complete. However, there's still much work to be done by Joshua and the people of Israel. In this chapter, we find them carrying out a command that was given to Moses in Numbers chapter 35. They were to appoint 6 cities that were to be known as cities of refuge. What were the cities of refuge in the Old Testament? The Bible tells us that the cities of refuge were part of the distribution of the promised land among the 12 tribes of Israel. Only one tribe, the Levites, was not given land to develop. Instead, they were to be the priests of the Lord and the overseers of the tabernacle and all its rites and furnishings. Only the Levites could carry and set up the tabernacle, according to Numbers chapter 2. As the Levites were to have no territorial domain given to them like the other tribes on the conquest of Canaan, they were to be distributed throughout the land in certain cities appropriated to their use. Part of their inheritance consisted of 48 cities spread throughout the land, as recorded in Numbers chapter 35, verses 6 and 7. Of these 48 cities, six were designated as cities of refuge. The cities were Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan. Now, the Mosaic law stated that anyone who committed a murder was to be put to death. Exodus 21, verse 14. But for unintentional and accidental deaths, God set aside these six cities to which the murderer could flee for refuge. He would be safe from the avenger, a family member charged with avenging the victim's death, until the case could go to trial. The congregation would judge to find if the attacker acted unintentionally. If he did, he would return to the city of refuge and live there safely until the death of the high priest, who was in office at the time of the trial, at which point he could return to his property. If the attacker left the city of refuge before the death of the high priest, however, the avenger would have the right to kill him. A Bible commentary suggests the establishment of those privileged sanctuaries among the cities of the Levites is probably traceable to the idea that the Levites would be the most suitable and impartial judges, that their presence and counsels might calm or restrain the stormy passions of the blood avenger. By their consecration as priests, the Levites were mediators between the Israelites and God. As such, they would have been gifted to calmly mediate between the attacker and the victim's family, ensuring that no further bloodshed would occur. Now, the cities of refuge are beautiful types of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom sinners find a refuge from the destroyer of their souls. Just as the guilty person sought refuge in the city set up for that purpose, in the same way, we as sinners flee to Christ for refuge from our sin. We run to Christ to escape the danger we are in from the curse and condemnation of God's law, from the wrath of God, and from an eternity in hell. Only Christ provides refuge and safety from these things, and it is to Him alone that we must run to. Just as the cities were open to all who fled to them for safety, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who provides safety to all who come to Him for refuge from sin and its punishment. It is these cities of refuge that I want to consider for a while this evening. They paint for us a clear picture of the salvation that is to be found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time an Israelite looked upon one of the cities of refuge, God designed that he should be reminded of Christ. Therefore, let us make several observations concerning some characteristics of these cities of refuge and see how they are related to the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The first observation I'd like to look at this evening is that all the cities of refuge were prominently located at high elevations so that they could be seen from great distances with good roads and signs leading to them. Stephen Haskell, in his article, The Cities of Refuge, writes, "The cities were on elevated ground and could be seen at a distance." Now, why was this important? Well, people going to a city of refuge were fleeing for their lives. They were in a hurry. They were really those who had death following them. A city elevated, therefore, would be easy to spot for the refugee, for the fugitive. And when you look at this situation here, these family members, these avengers, were hot on the trail of these murderers. And therefore, it was important that these cities be easily found, that they be elevated, that they be at a place where people could see them from a distance. And you can see how important this was for the one fleeing to the city. If he could see from a distance the city of refuge, he could see that he doesn't have that much further to go. That I'm closer than I was before. And that all I need to do is just keep following where that elevated city is, and I'll be there very shortly. It was a form of encouragement for the one fleeing. That the city is elevated, that's where we need to go. And once we see those cities elevated, we know we're close to safety. Now, this same idea of the city of refuge being elevated can be applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read in John chapter 3, verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, the Son of Man must also be lifted up. Christ must be elevated or lifted up so that sinners will flee to Him and be saved and healed from their sins. When we preach Christ, when we teach Christ, what are we doing? We're making Him elevated so that sinners can see where to go for salvation. That there is no mistaking about it. When Christ is elevated and lifted high, all eyes look to Him. And therefore, sinners must flee to Him. Just like the murderer who was fleeing to the city of refuge saw the elevated city, so too sinners must, for their dear life, flee to Jesus Christ for salvation and for refuge from their sins. In the picture of Moses raising up the brazen serpent is also a picture of Christ being lifted up so that all men can see Him. John 12, verse 32, we read, "If I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people toward Me." The city of refuge was elevated so that the one fleeing could see it. So too, Jesus Christ must be elevated so that sinners might know where to go for the salvation of their souls. John chapter 12, verse 34 says, "The crowd said, 'We have heard from the law that Christ will live forever. So why do you say the Son of Man must be lifted up?' Who is the Son of Man?" The Lord Jesus Christ must be lifted up because that's the only hope for the sinner. That's the only place that he can go from the wrath of God. That's the only place he can flee from his sin and from his condemnation is Christ. And when you come into the Lord's house to worship and you hear a message preached, you must see Christ elevated in the message. You must see Christ magnified in the message. Because He's the only refuge for your soul. He's the only one that can heal you from your sins. He's the only place of safety. There's no other place of safety but Christ. And therefore, we must elevate Him so that each soul that comes into this church building will know for sure that the way to salvation is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and in no other. There's no other place I can send you to for salvation, my friend, but Christ. He's the elevated one. He's the magnified one. He's the one that must be lifted up. And just like the cities of refuge were elevated so that those guilty of an accidental crime could flee to them, so too Christ must be elevated and magnified in the church and preaching and worship and evangelism so that sinners might see Him and flee to Him for salvation. But when you go to churches today, you don't see this elevation of Christ. Rather, you see the elevation of a man or of a ministry or a church or a denomination. But what good is that for the sinner? What good is that for God's people? What can they do for them? It's only Jesus Christ who must be lifted up. And when He's lifted up, He will draw all men to Himself. You need Christ tonight. I need Christ tonight. I need a word from Him. I need Him to speak to my heart. And therefore, I need to see Him magnified and lifted up. I need Him to be exalted in this service. Because He's the only safety for our souls. There's no other safe ground but Christ. And it's interesting that the roads leading to these cities of refuge were always to be kept in good repair. That the one fleeing before the avenger of blood might not be hindered in his flight. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 3, very clear instructions for the people of God to follow with regards to the cities of refuge. And listen to the words of Moses here, Deuteronomy 19, verse 3. Thou shalt prepare thee a way or a road and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. What is Moses instructing the people of God to do? You better make sure that the roads leading to the cities of refuge are in good shape. Don't let them become in disrepair. Because the one fleeing can't afford to trip or to get sidetracked. It has to be a smooth path. It has to be a path that is without any obstacles or any impediments to the sinner. He must have a clear way to the city of refuge. And so too it is when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must plainly preach Christ. We must not make any impediments or obstacles or put them in the way of sinners. We must state clearly and succinctly and concisely and powerfully that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And it must be constantly preached and told to the sinner and to the saint alike. And very specific and clear instructions were given to the people of God to make sure that these roads were well paved and maintained and looked after. Besides good roads, there were signs at the crossroads directing murderers fleeing to the cities. There were signposts. There were warnings. There were signs telling the one fleeing that there's refuge so far from here. And then as he got closer to another crossroad, there would be another sign saying, refuge closer. It's interesting that an ancient Jewish scholar explained these signposts and these roads in some of his writing. He says, at least once every year, the magistrates of each city were responsible to survey the road to their city, making certain that the road was clear of all debris and easily passable. There must be no obstacles in the way that would hinder any who might flee to the cities of refuge. The magistrates would send out work crews to remove all large rocks and fallen trees from the road, taking the greatest possible care to remove every stumbling block. Any low places in the road would be filled in. Any high places would be leveled. All along the road, they placed markers with the word refuge written in bold letters. When the fugitive came to crossroads, he needed not hesitate for a moment. Seeing that blessed word, refuge, he kept on his breathless pace with relentless determination until he reached a place of merciful safety. Once he entered the gates of the city, he was secure. And there have been accounts of even bridges being built over bodies of water so that it would make the one fleeing easier to get to the city of refuge. In other words, the government, the magistrate, those in power were commanded by the Lord to make this as easy as possible for the fugitive to get to the city of refuge without any impediments, without any obstacles. And isn't that one of the purposes and objectives of the preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to preach Christ and not to make it full of impediments and obstacles for the people of God and for those who are lost and without Christ? We're to make it as clear as we can. We're to make it as smooth as we can when it comes to the preaching of Jesus Christ. And yet, how many today, they're stumbling blocks. They're impediments. They put obstacles in the paths of sinners, and it makes them hard for them to get to Christ. Oh, that the Lord might give us the ability and the opportunity to make the path of salvation clear for sinners, not confuse them, not impede them, not slow them down, but help them along. The man fleeing had to rush because the avenger was right on his heels. And this was not some gingerly walk he was in the midst of. He was running for his life, fleeing to the city of refuge. And he needed as little impediments and obstacles to that city as possible. I know that the Lord might help us as a witness to those who are lost to get out of the way and to not be a stumbling block, not be an impediment to sinners to get to Christ, but that we might help them on their journey, assist them and encourage them along the way. Today, preachers and teachers warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. It's my responsibility and duty as a gospel preacher to put up the signposts for sinners and for saints alike to flee to Christ. Refuge, refuge in Christ and in Christ alone. Christ asked the Pharisees in Matthew 3, verse 7, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And one of the objectives of the gospel preacher is to warn those who listen to him of the wrath to come and to flee it. To flee, to escape, to go to the place of safety that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The signs read, "Refuge in Christ, refuge in Christ, flee from sin and God's wrath." Yet people today respond, "Ho-hum. What is there to fear? Ho-hum. What's the seriousness of this whole coming to Christ and fleeing from the wrath to come?" They just kind of yawn at you and say, "Ho-hum, I'll just keep going on along my merry way." And they never see it. They never realize the critical condition that they're in. They don't realize the avenger is right on their heels. Others respond and say, "I'll take my chances outside of Christ. You know, I won't go to Christ for safety. I'll try to make it the best way I can without going to that city. And I'll try to do it in my own way and in my own power. And I'll never go to that city." And eventually, those who talk like that, the avenger finds them. And the avenger slays them. They never go to the city. They never go to true refuge and safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be those who heed the warnings and flee to Christ for refuge. This is not a light and laughing matter, my brothers and sisters. It's a very serious one. It's the difference between life and death, heaven and hell, safety and destruction. Therefore, the cities of refuge were convenient and easy to find. Safety for the soul. The Bible's made it very convenient and very easy to find. It's in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we must do is we must repent of our sins and believe in that. God has made it very convenient for us to escape the wrath to come. Very easy. And yet, why do so many complicate things? Why do so many make it harder than it really is? All the cities of refuge were prominently located at high elevations so that they could be seen from great distances with good roads and signs leading to them. How this points to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the cities of refuge was a permanent place for murderers until the death of the high priest, which guaranteed their safety. You'll notice that if you read in Numbers chapter 35, there is an emphasis on the death of the high priest in connection with the cities of refuge. Numbers 35, verse 25, we read, "And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil." Then Numbers 35, verse 28, we read, "Because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest, but after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession." And then Joshua 20, verse 6, "And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled." Now, why is the death of the high priest mentioned four times in connection with the cities of refuge? Well, again, it typifies Christ, but in what way? How does the death of the high priest typify the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, since Jesus Christ will never die as our great high priest of his people, then we have eternal security. See, we will never be in danger and threatened by the wrath of God. The law of God does not condemn us because we are in Jesus Christ. The scripture says that once the death of the high priest occurred, the man that lived in the city of refuge was then released. Well, the glorious truth for the believer is, once we go into the city of refuge, our great high priest, Jesus Christ, will never die. He will live forever, which means that our security will be forever, that our refuge will be forever. We will never be released from the safety and the refuge that we find in Jesus Christ, because our priest never dies. He makes intercession for us before the Lord forever and ever. He's the high priest that has no beginning, no end. And doesn't that comfort your soul, my friend? Doesn't that give you eternal security in your salvation? And how this picture of the city of refuge shows us that we, being in Christ, and because Christ cannot die, will always have that security, always have that peace, always have that refuge, because we're in Christ. We will never be released from the city of refuge. We will never be released from the safety that we find ourselves in Jesus Christ, because our high priest can never die. We read in Hebrews 6, verse 20, "Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." What's that text saying? That text is saying that Jesus Christ will never die as our high priest. He will live forever and ever. And based upon this law, according to the cities of refuge, in order for the man to be released from that city, the high priest had to die. Do you see the type? Do you see the teaching here for the child of God? It should bring us comfort. It should bring us assurance. It should give us a peace that our salvation is eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your security resting in the Lord for your salvation, or is it resting in what you do or what you don't do? You can lose your salvation if your salvation rests in yourself, because you're fickle. You change like night and day. But if your salvation rests in the great high priest who never dies, you will always be safe. You'll always be secure in him. You can't lose your salvation in Christ. It's impossible. Hebrews 4, verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." See, Jesus Christ is our great high priest who has passed into the heavens. He liveth and ever maketh intercession for us. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? That we're safe and secure in Christ. We no longer have to go outside the walls of safety to run from the avenger? Because there is no avenger any longer trying to chase us down and destroy us, because in Christ the law has no power against us. In Christ there is no more condemnation. The law is silent. The law cannot condemn us because Christ paid for our condemnation on the cross. Christ paid for it all. He bore the punishment. He bore the wrath. He bore what we should have borne on the cross. Alienation. The wrath of the avenger. Therefore, because we're in Christ, we will never have to face the condemnation of God's law. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about, brothers and sisters, tonight? See, refuge was only guaranteed as long as they remained in the city. If the person left the city, the avenger could take their life. If they went outside the city, once they got there, the city could do nothing to protect them. Isn't that the truth when it comes to Christ? If we leave Christ, if we forsake Christ, doesn't it make us vulnerable? Doesn't it make us susceptible to the avenger? But what gives us that peace, that security, that safety? It's being in Christ and being joined to Him in a vital, living relationship. Do you have that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ? You may know a lot of things about Jesus Christ, and you may be able to answer a lot of theological questions, but do you know Christ? Is He your high priest? Is He the one who you can say is my safety and security and my everlasting reward? My exceeding great reward is Christ, my shield, my confidence, my strength, my refuge. It's Christ. So the cities of refuge was a permanent place for murderers until the death of the high priest, which guaranteed their safety. Thanks be to God, our high priest cannot die. So that guarantees our security and safety in the Lord. And thirdly, we read, or we observe, and this leads to my third and final observation, and that is, who could flee to the city of refuge? Whosoever needed to flee to one of the cities was free to do so, whether or not he was an Israelite. Gentiles could flee to the city of refuge. Foreigners, strangers, and Israelites. We read about this in Numbers 35, verse 15. But if you have Joshua opened, it's also repeated in Joshua 20, verse 9. Okay, let's read the passage that we have our Bibles open to already. Joshua 20, verse 9, it says, "These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger," that's the Gentile, "that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation." Numbers 35, verse 15 pretty much reiterates what Joshua 20, verse 9 says, just adding that it says, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them. So the city of refuge was not just for the Jew, not just for the Israelite, but it was for the Gentile. What a beautiful picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ going forth, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. See, the cities of refuge are for the protection of Israelites, resident foreigners, and traveling merchants who were Gentiles. Anyone who accidentally kills someone may flee there for safety. Not just the Jews, but the strangers of the Gentiles also may flee to the city of refuge. And isn't that one of the main teachings of the Apostle Paul in the epistles? When he writes about the gospel was not just for the Jew, but was for the Gentile. Listen to Galatians chapter 3. Paul writes, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." And we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 17. We covered this in Sunday school just recently. Listen to these magnificent and beautiful words. "That at that time you were without Christ," that is, the Gentiles were without Christ, "being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh." How this is a beautiful teaching that relates to the cities of refuge. That it was open for all to flee to for safety and peace and security. Whosoever needed to flee to one of the cities was free to do so, whether or not he was an Israelite. And so it is true in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus Christ came for both Jew and Gentile? Suppose he just came for the Jews. We would have no hope. We would be shut out from salvation. We would have no security. We would still be outside the city running around from the Avenger trying to slay us. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ came not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. He came for all men. For all nations, whether you're white or black, whether you speak English or French or Chinese, he came for all people to save a people to himself. No one excluded. No one discriminated against. All are invited to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for safety and security from the wrath of God, from the sin of this present evil world. So in closing, the characteristics of the cities of refuge stunningly resemble the gospel of Jesus Christ. All the cities of refuge were prominently located at high elevations so that they could be seen from great distances with good roads and signs leading to them. The cities of refuge was a permanent place for murderers until the death of the high priest, which guaranteed their safety. And this leads to the last point. The last point was that whosoever needed to flee to one of the cities was free to do so, whether or not he was an Israelite. The whole gospel could be preached from the characteristics given of the cities of refuge. So let us love and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us heed the warnings and the signposts and the urgings from the Lord to flee to Christ. Flee from the wrath to come. Flee from your sin. Flee to Christ. What a message, what a hope we have today. Those who look to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Let us pray.